Hey, New Life. The biblical worldview proceeds from this fundamental realization. God is king. The creator of the universe is the king of the universe. And for that reason, he gets to make the rules. One of the unique things, though, about the Bible and the religious worldview of the Bible compared to the paganism of the ancient world is that the God of Israel was a moral God. His commandments were not just arbitrary or haphazard, but they actually had a moral outlook and expectation that went along with it. You see, paganism works kind of like when you go and play the slots, not saying that any of you ever have done that, but you put your coin in, you pull the lever, and all of a sudden up, you know, you're trying to get the three cherries or whatever. That was paganism. Paganism was if you offer the sacrifice in the right way and you do the right things as it relates to religious practice, you're going to be okay. But that's not the way the God of the Bible looked at things. He expected religious practice, but more than that, he expected people to behave in obedience to him and in relationship to each other as he defined it. 200 years before Jesus, a Jewish sage by the name of Antigonus from a town called Soko said, "Be not like servants who serve their master with an eye for reward. Rather, be like servants who serve their master with no eye for reward, and let the fear of heaven be upon you." This statement was revolutionary. For the first time in human history, someone had said, "You serve God because he's God, not to receive a reward." This idea sparks this humane spirit that we've talked about within ancient Judaism. At the same time, though, by the time of Jesus, that idea is starting to work its way more and more through Jewish theology. You serve God not to get a reward. You serve God because he's God. And this is going to be a huge part of Jesus's call to his followers to obey. You obey God because he's God. You obey God because he's king. I just want to frame something for you a second. Often, within modern Christianity, we tend to approach our faith putting ourselves at the center. Even how we talk about God, it's what God can do for us. We come to church thinking about how did that impact me? What did I get out of it? We read the Bible. What does this say to me? Such an idea is very common within our Western culture. But we need to understand it's rather antithetical to the world of the Bible. Jesus would never have called anyone to repentance based upon what God can do for them. He would have called them to repentance. In fact, he did call them to repentance based upon this simple realization. God is king, and you're not, and neither am I. And it is our job to serve him. We are going to find Jesus telling parables and sayings using this imagery of a master and servants. We need to understand that whenever we encounter that in the Gospels, that likely lurking behind Jesus's sayings is the saying of Antigonus of Soko, "Be not like servants who serve their master with an eye for reward, but be like servants who serve their master with no eye for reward, and let the fear of heaven be upon you. The first parable we want to look at today, we're actually going to look at it this week and again next week, because Jesus has two points he's trying to get at in this parable. Today we want to focus on the one which is a call to obedience. In Matthew chapter 20, he tells a parable about workers in the vineyard. The kingdom of heaven is like a householder who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, that's one day's wage, he sent them into the vineyard. And going out the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to them he said, "You go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right, I will give you." So they went. Going out again about the sixth and the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, "Why do you stand here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You go into the vineyard too." And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to the steward, "Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first." And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the householder, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me, or do you begrudge my generosity?" So the last will be first and the first last. Now, one aspect of this parable is those who were hired to go and work in the harvest. And as anyone who's grown up around a farm knows, when it's harvest time, it's all hands on deck. And the householder goes out and he agrees with the day laborers for a denarius. He sends others saying he'll pay them what is fair. And then ultimately, he's going to pay those who work the least amount of time the same wage as everyone else. Percolating through this parable is a call to obey God without seeking a reward. You see, the grumbling of those who worked all day was motivated by the fact that they thought that because those who only worked an hour were paid a denarius, a day's wage, that they would get more. They were looking for greater reward for greater service. And the master says, "Look, I'm generous. Go your way. You have what we agreed upon. But the point is, you serve without seeking reward." That's hard for us. We look at this and it even seems a bit unfair. And we'll talk about that more next week. But it's hard for us in the fact that we see ourselves or being called to see ourselves as servants. Jesus is going to tell another parable along this line of a servant and a master. We find this in Luke 17. "Will any one of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him when he has come in from the field, 'Come at once and sit down at table'? Will he not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me and gird yourself and serve me till I eat and drink, and afterwards you shall eat and drink'? Does he thank the servant because he did what he was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that is commanded, you say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty. Now, this cuts against the grain of our Western American culture. We love liberty. We love freedom. We love our rights. And here Jesus tells a parable that, look, what you really are is servants, called to obey the commands and the whims of the master. Therefore, when you've done what has been commanded you, don't look for reward, and also don't look for accolade. You know, one of the principles that we find in the Bible, when we think about liberty and liberation and freedom, we have to think about the story of the Exodus from Egypt. God parting the sea, bringing these slaves, these Israelites, out of Egyptian bondage. But in Leviticus 25, God says, the reason why I did that, the reason why I liberated you, so that you can be my servants. I took you from slavery to be my slaves. And that's really what we are called to do. We are called to be obedient servants to the master. It's about recognizing his reign and his rule and his kingship over us. So that means as his servants, he has the right to command us to do and to behave the way he wants us to. Now, that may be uncomfortable, and let's be honest, all of us at some point don't like God's commands. That's okay, but we can never forget who the King is and what our responsibility is to obey him. To that point, Jesus tells another parable. You notice how he likes to tell stories. And he's going to use this parable to highlight what really matters for him with his followers. And we find this in Matthew 21. It's a parable about two sons. He says, what do you think? A man had two sons. And he went to the first and said, son, go and work in the vineyard today. And he answered, I will not. But afterward, he repented and he went. And he went to the second and said the same. And he answered, I will go, sir. But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? You see, what Jesus puts emphasis on here is not those who have good intentions, but rather those who have good action. It's about looking at the first son and realizing that he changed. He said, no, I'm not going to go. But then he repented and he went and he did. Versus the one who said, sure, I'll go, but didn't follow through. This parable is a call to active obedience. Obeying God's commands. That's what we should be about. That should be our heartbeat as we wake up in the morning and as we lay our head on our pillows at night. How can I today obey God's commandments in my life? Is that a part of our thought process in everything that we do? That's not some kind of burden, but think about it. We have an opportunity to serve the King of the universe who loves us so much. Jesus also, though, has a very sobering message for those who do not do the will of the Father. And we find this in Matthew chapter 7. He says, "Many will come to me on that day," meaning the day of judgment, "and say, Lord, Lord, did we not heal and prophesy and do signs and wonders in your name?" And on that day, he will say, "Depart from me, I never knew you, because you did not do the will of my Father." This is serious stuff. Jesus called his followers to obey. We don't obey to get a reward. We obey because he's God. He's the King of the universe. He's our master. He created us. He has the right to make demands on us. Is he a harsh master? No. He's a loving father. Be careful as you go through your walk with the Lord of continuing to put yourself at the center of that walk. Spiritual maturity cannot come when we filter our faith and our obedience through ourselves. Spiritual maturity comes when we learn how to serve God and obey him with no thought for reward, but simply because he's our King and our Lord.